So here's a familiar scene. Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey, stuffing, and all the relatives. Even the ones you don't see very often. Someone brings up politics, and it all gets very tense. Or loud, depending on the family. Crossing the political divide is challenging. Other people's beliefs can seem so illogical. But why are we always so sure that we're on the right side of reason? Jonathan Haidt is a social psychologist and the author of The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. And he says that despite what we think, our political attitudes aren't always as well reasoned as we believe them to be.
I spent my young adulthood hating Republicans, watching as the Democrats seemed to just blow it in election after election. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, I realized that they are actually right about many things, just as liberals are right about many things. The Republicans have just done a much better job of making appeals to the gut, making appeals that resonate emotionally rather than cerebrally. And politics, like so much else in life, is not a matter of calculation. It's a lot more like religion.
So tonight, I simply offer a prayer that with the guidance of God, we may prove ourselves worthy of His blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
As much as we might want to think that we steer by our own moral compass, the findings in social psychology show that we are much more like lemmings than we are like mavericks able to do whatever they think right. We're not very good at reasoning to weigh up all the pros and cons and decide which policy will yield the best results overall. Much of my research has been to map out what are the taste buds of the moral mind. We find that liberal cuisine tends to rest most heavily on care, harm, compassion, suffering, all those sorts of issues. And so there's a set of moral concerns, and then policies grow out of that. Conservatives have all of those moral taste buds. They're not quite as compassionate, not quite as bleeding heart, but they have some others that liberals don't use as much, especially group loyalty, respect for authority, and a sense of sanctity or purity.
That's how it is in America. We look to our communities, our faiths, our families for our joy, our support in good times and bad. It's both how we live our lives and why we live our lives. The strength and power and goodness of America has always been based on the strength and power and goodness of our communities, our families, and our faiths.
We try to confirm whatever it is that we start off believing, and we're always able to do that. So the only way that you can think well is if you can have other people on the other side to disconfirm your pet theories. Our good thinking requires talking openly and listening to people on the other side. All these good ideas that you never even were exposed to because you're locked in your own sort of gated moral community. The danger is that now, for the first time in our history, the parties are not coalitions. Parties used to always be coalitions of interest groups. Now, for the first time, we have a perfect psychological split. All the people with a liberal personality and liberal values that go with it are in one party. All the people with a more conservative personality or disposition are in the other party. And that means that for the first time, the people in the other party really are different. They think differently from each other. They value different things. They're really different cultures. And that's dangerous because it makes it extra easy to demonize them.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the Republicans are the real threat.
Every major city which is a center of poverty is run by Democrats. Every major city.
The way to do this is to think about indirect methods. There are some efforts to try to bring people together over food. Food is one of these deep things. When you eat with people at the same table, it activates ancient circuits of trust. You're saying we are like family. So I suggest indirect methods focus on relationships first and then gradually introduce policy questions or other political questions. So rather than just coming at them saying, why do you believe X if you also believe Y? Rather than that, if you go and you say, conservatives are really concerned about personal responsibility, you know, tell me about that. Do you see both parties as fostering that? And if you make that sort of opening, which shows that you're not attacking, you're trying to understand, you often are met with a reciprocal gesture in which, say, you know, your brother-in-law might say, yeah, you know, the Democrats, they've always been against personal responsibility. But then he might soften him and say, you know, on the other hand, the Republicans, you know, so the way they bail out the banks, they haven't been so good on it either. So you got to get reciprocity and acknowledgement working for you. Don't just recreate the normal form of political engagement, which is a fight.
Jonathan Haidt is the author of The Righteous Mind: Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion.